person who isn't ready to preach after Josh prays for them. Man, thank you, Josh. Thank you, worship team. I love getting to do this. It is just so much fun to be up here with you guys, especially when Luke is gone, because then I can't get in trouble. As long as we're on agreement, you don't tell him, okay? But man, I was thinking about last time I was up here. Me and Brynn had been married for 2 months. And in May, we would have been married for a year. And so God has been so good to me. And man, by the glory of him and just a miracle, man, this marriage has been so awesome. And so I've just been praying. When Luke asked me to teach this Sunday, my first question or my first prayer to God is, God, what would you have me say? And sometimes when you pray that, sometimes you say, this is how it goes. This is how the conversation goes. It goes, God, I want to say this. And then God will say, well, that's a good thing to say. But here's what I want you to say. And so I was praying about what I wanted to say this morning. And I was like, man, it's kind of cool. I'm getting close to being my first year in marriage done. And I was like, it'd be kind of fun to do like a marriage update or like what I've learned over the past year being married. And I told my wife this. I said, hey, I would love to talk about this. What do you think about it? And she looks at me and she goes, do you think you're qualified? Well, I thought I was, but really, God speaks through my wife so much because she knew that that's not what I needed to say this morning because God had given that to her. And so I prayed again, okay, God, what would you have me say? And he brought up two things. He brought up the Holy Spirit and he brought up grace. And I'll be real honest with you, those are the two hardest things to teach about. Because they are ever flowing, they're ever learning, we're ever trying to understand what those things are in our lives. But as I prayed more and more, sometimes when you go through things with the Holy Spirit, he just gives you memories of things that you've learned about those certain topics that he wants you to teach about. And so I was just praying, God, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? What would you have me go through to study for this morning? And he reminded me of a series that I did with Life Action when I was with the team. It was a series called Flow, and it's a series by John Ortberg. He is a writer and a pastor. He wrote a book called The Flow, which is talking about the flow of the Holy Spirit, and we as a team started going through the sermon series that he did with his church about his book, and man, I'll tell you what, I thought I knew what it was like to live with the Holy Spirit, but John really... He understands Scripture, and God speaks through him in so many awesome ways. And so today's message is inspired, or I like to say it's a cover of his message, because he just is such a better pastor and preacher than I am. And if you want more of an in-depth understanding of what he's talking about or what we're discussing this morning, then I encourage you to go look up his book, John Ortberg, The Flow. And it's a really, really awesome, awesome book. But as I was going through and listening to the episodes again, man, I was just inspired to share some of the things that he shares in his sermon series, and it really, really touches my heart. And so in this the series, he talks about this passage, John 7, starting in verse 37. And in this passage, we see Jesus at a big feast, at a big feast in front of the tabernacle. And I just want you to picture, as we're reading this, this is a man of flesh and blood. We know he's fully God, but there are so many who are listening to him who don't know that. And they're in this big feast, and he stands in front of the crowd, and he says these things. So if you got your Bible, we're in John 7, verse 37. I'm going to be reading from the NLT version this morning. And would you stand with me as we read God's word? John 7, 37 says this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to all the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for just the ability to teach. It's such a humbling experience. And Lord, without you, I am nothing. And I pray this morning, Father, would you just make us rivers of living water? Would your spirit flow through us this morning? Would you give me all the words to say? Would nothing that I say on this stage, God, be me, but it all be you? And I pray for those this morning who are listening, Father, would we come to know you deeper? Would we come to understand a relationship with you and what that's like? And Lord, we just pray, would you just build in us the spirit of rivers of living water that we can flow out of us, God, that we can live in this life joyful and excited for you. Father, we thank all these things in your name. Amen. I know when I'm up here, the thing I like to talk about the most is food, okay? So we're going to talk about food again this morning. I don't know about you. Does anyone else have this thing, this expectation with fast food restaurants that it needs to stay consistent? Anyone else have that issue? Okay, good. I'm not alone in this boat, okay? If it is, okay, I'm okay with arguing that. But I grew up working at Chick-fil-A, and I love Chick-fil-A. It's the Lord's chicken. It's so good. But there are times where I get frustrated because I have this expectation that I know what Chick-fil-A should be like every time I go. I expect a certain level of quality and experience when I go to Chick-fil-A. And I'll be real honest with you. If you work at this location, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm not mad at you. But for some reason, the Moline location for Chick-fil-A is just not very consistent, okay? And the students saw this within me this past Friday. I was so frustrated with a lack of just consistency across the board when it comes to this location. And it's wild the things that I get frustrated by. Because I opened up a Chick-fil-A packet, and as I was opening it, you guys ever have this problem before where the whole lid doesn't open up? It is like half a lid and just rips halfway open. And they don't have anything to do with that, but I'm still frustrated and mad at this one location because for some reason, every time I go, something gets wrong. And there are those who are followers of Christ that they see this expectation that God has for their lives, this promise that he promises them that they're going to be like when they're followers of Christ. And when they don't meet that expectation, they give up. They get frustrated. They get exhausted. They don't go to church anymore. And I can guarantee there are some of us in this room where we read things in Scripture and we were trying to always get it right. We're trying to always get this expectation that God has of us. And for some reason, we can never, ever live up to it. And it's just so frustrating to us sometimes. And it's exhausting. And it feels like we can never, ever live up to what God calls us to be. I don't know about you, but it just is hard sometimes. When I was a youth pastor or a youth intern in Texas, my youth pastor had a book called Chasing Perfection. And it's this book about how we're called to chase after the holiness of God. And I didn't know that at the time. But I saw this book on his table and it said Chasing Perfection. And I asked him, why would you read about something that you could never grab? Why would you chase after something you could never attain? And he looks at me and says, just because I can't attain it doesn't mean I'm called to stop chasing it. And I'll be honest with you, that's a word. It's good. But sometimes when you hear someone say something, does your mind interpret it the wrong way? Husbands, you should be shaking your head yes. Yeah, that happens a lot to us as husbands. But sometimes God will speak a word through somebody, and we will interpret it in a way that is not what Scripture says. And he didn't go into depth of what that meant, but I interpreted it wrong. What I heard from my pastor was this, that if I'm going to succeed in this life that God has called me to be, if I'm going to be what John says in that, or what Jesus says in the passage in John, if I'm going to be this person who has rivers of living water flowing out of me, then I need to chase it. I need to drive myself to make myself be that person. That I got to force those waters out of me. And that's not what God calls us to be at all. And so as we dive into this passage this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you're exhausted being a Christian. I want you to know, Jesus sees you this morning. He sees you. He sees the exhaustion, the frustration, the hardships, and he knows what you're going through. I have no idea. I only know what I'm going through. And there are times in my life where I know it has been really, really hard to feel like I'm not living up to this expectation that God has of me. But would you join me this morning as we go through this passage? And would you have your open eyes and hearts to what God has to say about what it means to come to him and to live with the Holy Spirit? Really quickly, let's break down what this verse means. He starts out by saying, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. This word thirsty, we interpret it as thirst, as I'm thirsty for water or my soul thirsts. But really the interpretation that he is saying is you have an unmet desire. You have a desire within your heart that is being unmet. And that can come through in many different ways. It can come through frustration. It can come through exhaustion. It can come through coming to church and feeling like it's just not living up to what God called me or what God said it was going to be like. He said, if you are going through this life of Christ and you feel like you're just exhausted by the life that I've given you, hey, come to me and drink from me. I love how he doesn't say. I always tell this to students, like, the word says a lot about what it doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, hey, if you're thirsty, if you're exhausted, if you have an unmet desire, hey, read more. Hey, come to church more. But he says, no, come to me, all who are thirsty. And anyone who believes in me can come and drink. And then he says, rivers of living water will flow from your heart. In the translation, rivers of living water equals Holy Spirit. It equals the Holy Spirit. That when you come and drink of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will fill your life and then flow out of you like rivers of living water flowing through you. Living water in Scripture, I don't know if you know this, a lot of you guys who are farmers understand this, that when you have running water, water that is consistently moving, it equals life in Scripture. It equals life. It's rivers of flowing water that equals life in our life. In John 10:10, it's a different picture, but the same reality. And you can see all throughout Scripture that when people come to Jesus, they have this difference about them. In John 10:10, it says this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And when you read all throughout the New Testament, you see people who are coming to Christ and their lives are changed, not just by little things, but they don't have any more. They're getting rid of all the malice and hate and slander and anger and frustration and unforgiveness. And it's awesome. You see that being poured out through the New Testament, that when believers come to drink of Jesus, they are different beings. They have life. And for a lot of us, we started that way. For a lot of us, we started that when we came to this life with Christ, man, it was so exciting. Just filled with so much joy and passion for Christ. And so much, I don't want to stop talking about him. I don't want to stop being with him. His presence is everything to me. Because it is. It's life to us. It's not just a fulfillment. It's everything. And for some of us, it started that way. It was kind of like John Ortberg in his series. He calls it the honeymoon phase. And then trash started to fill our rivers. When I say river, a lot of you guys picture the Mississippi River. But I didn't grow up with the Mississippi, okay? But I did grow up with a river in Dallas. I don't know if you know this or not. There's a river that runs right through Dallas. Many people don't even know that that's even there. In fact, you could probably drive over this river and never even knew you were there. It's called the Trinity River, which I think is kind of a funny name for, or not a funny name, but it's a church name, right? We understand that. The Trinity River runs through Dallas, and a couple years ago, they had this huge cleanup of it, but I want you guys, can you show that picture, Riley? This is the river that I grew up with. When you pass this river, it was filled to the brim with trash. Just absolutely disgusting. and it was moving slow. It was very narrow. And not only was it filled with trash, but it just smelled. I can't describe the smell to you guys. All I can tell you is go to your local landfill, and that's what it smelled like. It just smelled awful. Some of us, we have the water within us, but the river that is supposed to be flowing out of us is filled with so much trash, and we've let it build up so much that it's become stagnant and biohazardous. The Trinity River growing up for me was biohazardous. We were told to never go in that river. In fact, you don't know what's in that river. You don't know if you're going to go to the hospital if you walk through that river. And you're exhausted and frustrated, and you're like, I'm never going to be this life that God has promised me. And in this passage, or in this series that John goes through, he says there's a gap. There's a gap between the reality that we're living in currently, right now, that if you're frustrated, if you're far from God, if your water is stagnant, the reality you're living in, there's a gap between that and the life that God has promised us. And how do we bridge that gap? Well, John mentions that there are a couple different strategies as Christians we are trying to employ to bridge the gap. Some of the strategies we try to employ when it comes to bridging the gap between the life that we're living currently and the life that God has promised us is sometimes we try to work harder. We try to fill our life with a lot of work. And if you read James, his whole book is about works. It's all about how we as Christians are called to work. But he says out of the heart, out of the spiritual life that we're giving through the Holy Spirit, we're called to work, not the other way around. And I think so often we try to have the Holy Spirit by working harder. We try to have these rivers of living water, this life pouring out of us, this joy, this no hate or anger or slander or malice. We try to do those things by just trying to force it out of us. And it's making us exhausted. Some people try to pretend. I think a lot of us have heard this phrase, we fake it till we make it. That we try to show others that this relationship with the God that we have is bigger than what it actually is. And the best place to do that is when we walk through the doors of this building. Is we don't want people to see that 2 minutes ago we were just fighting and arguing with our wife or yelling at our children. But we put on this mask. And we try to fake it till we make it. We try to make sure that no one sees the hardships that we're going through, because if they did, man, they would just make it worse. John Ortberg, in his series, he mentions a story about a young boy and his mom, and this young boy was going through depression and being so, so heavy burdened by the depression that he was going through. And his mom said this to him. This is a true story. His mom said, hey, I need you to go into this building and put a smile on, because fake happiness is better than genuine depression. That's awful, guys. Do you think God doesn't see what you're going through or frustrations and hardships you're going? He doesn't call us to pretend like everything's okay. As a pastor, sometimes I sit in that chair and I come here in the morning, and I'm not trying to tell everyone else that they're being like this, because I'm like this sometimes. I try to be the holiest person in the room, not saying that I want to be, but I don't want people to see the hardships that I'm currently going through. And we try to pretend. We try to fake it till we make it. We try to pretend that the Holy Spirit is living out of us. But it's never really stuck. Some people repeatedly rededicate their lives to Christ. This I see a lot in camps, youth camps. And it's not about, I'll just be honest, it's not about like picking up your cross daily. That's not what this is like. This is like continuing to try to rededicate your life to Christ based on the emotion that you first felt. You're trying to re-up that emotion again and again and again and again every single time. And you see it at camps, because speakers at camp, they want kids to come to Christ, and I love that about them. I love that they're wanting kids to know Christ more, but you hear sometimes the same stories over and over and over to bring up the same emotion coming to Christ. And I have nothing have no problem with kids coming to Christ and rededicating their lives. But is it sticking? A lot of times we try to do that. We try to rededicate ourselves over and over and over again, trying to bring that emotion back to our lives when we first met Christ. And then life and hardship and trash comes, and it just is the same. Some people switch spiritual venues. John, in his series, he says this is Christian musical chairs. That sometimes we don't like what the pastor's saying at one church, so we'll go to another one. We'll change churches, we'll change denominations, we'll change traditions, anything we can to change it up to try to close that gap. And it feels like it never really sticks. And eventually, the gap is too painful. The gap is too big between this life that we're living right now and this life that God has promised us. It's just too big and it's too painful for some people, and they just give up. They just say it's not worth the pain anymore. I was this way a year before I joined Life Action. I had been working at church for 4 years, and I was just exhausted. I was just tired of being in a church that I never really felt the Holy Spirit living through me. And this promised life that God had promised me, I was not living it out. I was not joyful. I was not happy. I was not excited to be with Christ. I was not excited to be at church. I was not patient or forgiving. I was stuck in a way, in a place where I never felt like I could get out. And I wanted to give up. Some of you guys might be that way this morning. You might be ready to give up. And I want to encourage you that if you're in that place, God isn't done with you. He's not done with you. He's chasing after you like he chased after me. And there are times where I still feel that frustration, that hardship. But know that he sees you and he's not done with you this morning. So what is the way? What if there's a way we can genuinely allow the Holy Spirit to flow out of our lives? What if what Jesus said in John 7 was right? That you and I could be rivers of living water and it could be flowing out of us. I didn't say this earlier, but I love in that passage, it says rivers of living water will flow out of your heart. If you have the King James Version, it says belly. And I like that version a little bit more because it's so cool. It's more of an image in my mind because I can't really see my heart, but I can see my belly. And everybody can see my belly. But it's this term, the heart or the belly, it puts in this perspective that that's our core. It's our foundation. And he says, out of your foundation, out of your heart, out of your belly, rivers of living water will flow from you. So what if he was right? What if you and I, out of our foundation in the Holy Spirit, can have rivers of living water flowing from us? How can we do that? How is there a way that you and I can master truth, peace, courage, and humility, patience, and forgiveness? How can we start to live out this life God's called us and promised us to? How can we bridge this gap? In the sermon series, John asked this question. He said, what if God was at work in this moment right now? What if you and I remembered that God was at work right at this very moment and he never stopped? If you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul is speaking to the church of Philippi and he says this, and I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. What if he's already working? What if this life that we're frustrated with, he's already doing it? What if because we came to Christ first, that he filled us with his Holy Spirit, And we may continue to try to fill that water with trash, but he's working so diligently in your life to push that out of the way so you could be a river of living water. What if God is not stopping from when he started with you? You see, river in Scripture, it means grace. Because rivers in Scripture, when they were written, wasn't just a rarity. In Jerusalem, they didn't have a single river. They didn't know what rivers were. In fact, there were many people who grew up their entire lives never seeing one. And so for Jesus to stand in front of a crowd and say, hey, if you come and drink from me, out from you will flow rivers of living water. He says, by the grace of God, you will be this promised life that I've given you. It's a gift. For us, grace is experienced by power. John Ortberg says that by power we experience God's grace. For you and me, we may have seen God's grace in many aspects in our life where God has taken us out of a position and given us so much good in our life. I'll tell you right now, my wife is the biggest grace in my life. And I did nothing to deserve her. And you and I experience that grace. We experience that grace often. But how often do we actually seek out that grace? You know, the Word talks about that if you want God's grace, if you want good gifts from your Father, all you have to do is ask. And there's the stipulation that with Christians, as followers of Christ, that we don't need much grace. That you and I don't need much of it. John, again, he brings up this writer named Dallas Willard. And he writes this book called Renovations of the Heart. And in this book, he says this. There's this illusion that saints don't need much grace because they don't sin very much. But saints only burn more grace than everybody else. You and I burn grace more than anyone else. You and I need more grace than anyone else who doesn't know Christ. I hope that sinks in. Like, you and I need to be continually seeking out that grace more often than we are doing currently. It's what we live on. It's not just something that fulfills our life, but it's what we live on. In Psalms 139, I think it's Psalms 139, it talks about the deer panting for the grace of God. Or as a deer panteth for the river, for water, I too will panteth for God. In fact, they sang about it at 8 a.m. this morning. And it's not just like a cute picture of a deer in a river, and he's just like, I'm really thirsty. I'm going to... No, and they understood that in Scripture times, deer in the desert don't last very long. And by the grace of God, there were rivers given to deer so they could survive. But so often, they didn't. They saw deer out in the desert who have died because there was no rivers nearby. So they understood that by the grace of God, the rivers were given to them, not just to be fulfilled, but to live. And you and I, we can't just do the Christian life without God. We can't live without him. We can't be fulfilled and flourish and have these rivers of living water flowing out of us. It's not just hard, it's impossible. And you and I have tried so hard to be this follower of Christ without him, and he invites us so often to build this life with him for us. So what do we do? How do we stay in the flow? Today's message is titled Flow State. Some of you guys, some of the students know what flow state means. When you get in this zone, as you would say, you focus harder. Usually it's pertaining to sports. And you get in this zone to focus harder on Christ or focus harder on whatever you're doing. And to be honest with you, I think it's kind of a play on words because we sometimes think that that's what we're supposed to do with Christ. That you and I are supposed to focus harder. And as we read in John 7, it's not about that. Jesus doesn't say, hey, if you want to come to me, if you want to be flourishing, living water flowing from you, if you want this life that I promised you, you need to focus harder. But instead, it's different. How do we stay in the flow? 1 Thessalonians 5:19, this is Paul speaking again. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Which translates to, hey, don't get in its way. You and I are really good at getting in Jesus' way. You and I are really good at seeing the water flow, and we say, God, I like how this water is flowing, but I want to move it over here, and I want to change that direction. And we get in the way. Or we let trash continue to decide who we're going to be, and it just fills this river and slows it down. You see, the Spirit is already working in your life, and He's bigger than you, and He's more powerful and more concerned and more patient about your failures than you are. Your job as a follower of Christ is just to get out of the way. And that's hard for some of us. I don't like that step. Because I have to let go of the reins of my life so that He can flow through me. For some of us, that means just seeing that the gap that we're in, and there's no way we can get over it. And the only way to do that is through, by God's grace, letting Him work in us. I have a really big pet peeve. Anybody have pet peeves in here? Okay, good. I love grocery shopping, but I don't like it, okay? And what I mean by that is I like going to grocery shop because I need to get things done. I need to focus on the mission and go in there and get in, get all my stuff, and get out. But what I don't like about grocery shopping is when I go grocery shopping, everyone who doesn't care about me at all or care about my mission that I'm on, okay? So what I mean by that is everyone who isn't spatial aware, right? Have you seen those people before, okay? Where they have their cart, and they're in the middle of the aisle, and on the other side of the aisle, they're like stretching as far as they can to reach something, and you're just sitting there for like 2 minutes, and I don't know if they know or not that you're actually there, but you know you're there, and you're trying to make your presence known, and they just don't care, right? It makes me more angry than anything else in this world. I'm telling you, my wife has seen me more stressed and frustrated at Walmart than any other place. Because I just have a hard time, because I'm like, there's an order to things, guys. You're on the right side, stay on the right side, okay? And in my mind, I say things and think things that I pray and hope you guys never hear from me. But I do. I get frustrated. I say things, I think things that are just not of God. Guys, that's what quenching the Spirit is like. Every time we try to decide our own way, and a lot of us would say, well, you didn't say anything, you're okay. Listen, the Bible says that what is in my heart, God sees. And He knows that it's not good for me. And so I quench the Spirit. I put trash in the river to slow it down. And then I ask God, where are you? Where have you been? I've been so frustrated at Walmart for the past hour. Where have you been? He says, I've just been waiting. Waiting for you to stop being so mad. God wants to transform you in a way that involves you. And all you have to do is say yes. I think it's so often we try to make all these services about trying to transform our lives to God, but all He wants, all He desires, all He says in John 7 is to come to Him, to stop trying to do all the things, to pretend, stop trying to find different avenues. All you have to do to create or to come back to your first love, to be rivers of living water, is to come to Him and say, God, I messed up. I need You. I need Your grace. God, I'm sorry. I know that old lady who was in the middle of the aisle. She was just trying to do the same thing I was doing. And I know You love her too. God, would you forgive me for the way I thought about her? If that's you this morning, would you come? If you're a deer panting for water, if you're frustrated, if you're thirsty, would you come to him? That's all he asks. It's not about this big emotional moment. It's just, God, I've messed up. I've let trash enter into my river, and it's become stagnant. Would you just flow through me? And it's like that. He's back. And that's all it takes. As we come to a close this morning, this altar, this stage is not about recreating an emotional moment. And it's nothing special about it. There's nothing holy about the plastic that it's made of, the wood that it's made of. But what it symbolizes is the altar. And the altar meant something so special in Scripture, and I think we've just lost this image. That it's such a special place that when you come before God and you lay down all this trash that's been filling your life and you lay it down, you say, God, I don't want this anymore. I want to jump back in the river with you. He's there. And if not here, if you don't want to do it here, you do it at your seat, he's there. It's not about where you go. He's already in you. And to live, to fill this gap, to live this promised life that he's called us to live, it's just going to him. Not employing tactics, not doing more, not focusing harder. To be in the flow state with Jesus, it's just to be with him. Father, I thank you for this morning. You are good, so good. That when our frustrations and just trash that we tend to fill our rivers with, God, you still see us and want us and love us. God, you called us to live this promised life. And so often we try to look like the good Christian kid, to make sure everyone sees that we're holy in some way. But God, we are so broken and in need of you. Always. Always in need of you. And I pray, hope this image of a deer coming to the water, almost dying of thirst and being satisfied by you, I pray that that's the image that we're bringing this morning. Father, I am a deer who needs you. And isn't just a part of my life or fulfill my life, but you are everything to me. You are my life, God. And I pray for those this morning. Would you allow us just to be this promised life you've given us, these rivers of living water, that we can be so joyful and passionate and exciting and patient and forgiving, God, because apart from you, we can't be any of those things. Father, you are so good to send your son to die on the cross for us, that we can have a relationship with you. It's what's crazy about this verse this morning, God, is they didn't even understand what was coming. They had no frame of reference because Jesus was still with them, and we do. We know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit. And God, we've forgotten in some ways of how good you are. Lord, would you just wipe all that trash away? Would you allow us to live freely with you, to be in presence with you? And would our worship this morning not be hindered by any trash that's in us? Would it be so on fire, so excited, so ready for you to work because you're already working? Father, thank you for this morning. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you want to use the stage this morning, again, there's nothing special about it. If you want to use the stage this morning to lay your things down to him, I encourage you to do that. If not, you can do that at your seat or you can do that at home. But would you join us together as we stand and pray, or stand and worship?